Yo, this is not the Logan Paul and Mayweather fight, man. This is Die Hard Knicks podcast featuring State of the New York Knicks. We are going to be talking about basically the state of the Knicks, man. So for those that are not into boxing, that won't be watching that Logan Paul fight, as you can see me in the background when I flipped the picture just now, we're going to be talking some Knicks. And, you know, without further ado, man, let's just get right into it. Hey man, what's going on? You got Mr. State there. How's everything?
What's up? What's up, man? Everything is everything. I got my ginger tea. Feeling better than yesterday. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. I'm letting everybody know you had the bubble guts. That's why we haven't done a podcast in a little while.
Bruh.
I'm hitting the hand sanitizer one more time just before we start here. No telling what could happen through the airwaves. You know what I'm saying? COVID just happened, so I don't want to catch what you got through the airwaves, man. So how's it going, man? Otherwise,
man, just want to talk some Knicks stuff. You see all the new narratives that's coming out past, I say, 4 or 5 days. So yeah, let's tackle them. I guess one of the narratives ended today. Once Kawhi Leonard closed out the Mavericks, so we can start off there first because this Damian Lillard stuff. I don't know. Everybody talking about Damian Lillard, man. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I did a whole podcast, man. You know, you gotta, you know, at first, you know, you gotta meet the rumor head on. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what was gonna happen. The Knicks got knocked out. Damian Lillard got knocked out again. Knicks got money. We got draft picks and all this, man. So of course the Knicks are gonna be in the mix of every single rumor. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta paint the picture on both ends. You know, to say that we can't get him is wrong. You know, because we could get him, but it takes two to tangle. The right things have to happen. Both teams have to be interested in it, and you know, we'll go from there, man. But you know, would I do it? You know, the thing is, the Knicks have to do something. They have to do something, and if they do it, they just have to go all the way in on it. And it can't just be we get Damian Lillard and then just drag him out for like the next 3 years, like you know, beat the dead horse. You know, we would have to have a game plan in place where we not just only get Damian Lillard, but we just you know, the thing just starts spinning, and we start doing that, man. So. I don't really necessarily definitely want him, you know, just like last year with the Westbrook shit. It was Westbrook and Chris Paul last year. You know, that was like the big massive debate with that. You know what I'm saying? So it's basically the same thing all over again with this debate. So I could take it or leave it, man. But if we do take it, we got to go all in on the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. But since Kawhi Leonard won this afternoon, that dream died for me. Because I don't see the reason why we should give up the whole shebang for a guy how old is Dame? Like 30, 31 now?
And 30.
He's not on the same timeline as nobody on this team. So I wouldn't see the point. The only reason why I would entertain Dame is to get Kawhi. And even in the event of that, I'm not interested in giving up RJ Barrett. So it's like, I'm seeing
So what's the whole shebang though? Like you said, the whole shebang, and then you mentioned RJ Barrett. So you think RJ Barrett will be in that deal for Dame?
No. So for me, I think Mitch, Obi, Quickly, Knox, probably like 4 first round picks, or you could RJ, Quickly, 3-4 first round picks. Like, I'm not really trying to do that. Then I was thinking about it too, because I included Randall in some of those trades. So, you know, I put Randall, Mitch, Knox, 3 first round picks. But at the end of the day, it doesn't fit how I want the Knicks to be built. Just for me personally, yeah, Obi, IQ, Mitch, and picks. Yeah, that's basically the whole shebang. And I'm not really interested in that. I'm not interested in just giving up on my young core. And now when you get Dame, expectations is championship or bust. We in New York. This ain't a small market. They ain't no diehard state of Hawks. Ain't no diehard state of the Kings. It ain't no, nah, man. So I'm not really too interested in Damian Lillard. But the report I want you to speak on is, since we're on the topic of Damian Lillard, Jason Kidd said he does not want to coach Portland. And Dame said he wants Jason Kidd. So how is that going to turn out?
Well, I mean, like, if I'm a coach and I see Damian Lillard just lost in the first round, and you know, the rumors are already flying that they might end up trading him, I don't want to commit to that guy and then they trade him. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to keep Damian Lillard for like 1 year and then they trade him next year. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lame duck job. So I wouldn't want to take the job either. You know, looking at it like that.
It reminds me of the coach for the Houston Rockets. What's his name? Paul Silas. Kind of, I forgot his name, but it reminds me of that coach because you kind of knew Harden was out the door, but you didn't.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? But you didn't really get the feel of that. And I think Dame will ask out once Paulette hires a new coach. So I just want the Knicks to just stay clear. You got way other options. And let me name some of the options for you, see how you feel about some of these options. And these are just trade options. I'm not talking about free agency or nothing else, just straight trade options. I got Kendrick Nunn for the Miami Heat. I love his game next to Randle. He's not a prototypical point guard. He averaged 14.5 points his rookie year. You know, he was on the all-rookie first team, I believe. And, you know, I know he took a step back in his second year. I know he was hurt. But the way he was being used for the Miami Heat, he was getting yanked out of the lineup, yanked out of the star lineup. And he was just misused, basically. So I got him. I got Devontae Graham. Devontae Graham of the Hornets. You know, he's out of their rotation. You know, they drafted LaMelo. They got Terry Rozier, so they probably wouldn't need Devontae Graham. I got Lonzo Ball, Pelicans. They drafted Kieran Lewis. You know, you don't know what's going on over there. You hear LaVar Ball. And then finally, I got Colin Sexton. Guys in Cleveland just dying over there, 24-4-4. Young players. And I just named you four point guards who's on the same timeline as our best players. So, how you feel about some of these guys?
I hear you, man. But you know, when you talk about timeline, these guys are younger than you know. I get you. They're about the same age as RJ. You know, they're a little bit younger, or maybe around the same age as Randle. You know, so I get it, man. But you know, we also got Quickly too, man. So, is none better than Quickly? You know, is Devontae Graham better than Quickly?
Yes.
You know, we talked about Sexton and we talked about Lonzo Ball too, man. You know, but it all depends what style of play we want to play. You know, because like when we get these guys, like all of these guys you're talking about, Sexton, Lonzo, Devontae Graham, you know, these guys are not necessarily facilitators. You know, except for maybe Lonzo Ball. So I mean, it really depends on what you're trying to do as far as you know, playmaking is concerned. You know, so I'm to tell you the truth, it's like anybody. We can pick any of these guys, really. But if we do get them, we have to like have that game plan in mind. I don't really like Devontae Graham too much because of his height. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of just changes what we do a little bit, because we already got Derrick Rose and we got you know, Quickly coming off the bench. They all kind of like do the same thing. We're not gonna like rely on Devontae to like really you know, run the offense per se. You know what I'm saying? Lonzo Ball, you know, I get the reason why he fits. He's a ball mover. You know, so he's going to provide basically what Elfrid did, but do what Elfrid should have, you know, what we wanted Elfrid to do. You know what I'm saying? So it all depends. If we play the exact same style of basketball that we played last year, then Lonzo Ball would be good. Sexton, you know, because Sexton could score. You know, but, you know, none I'm not really too fond of, and Devontae Graham I'm not really too fond of. You know, so,
go ahead.
No, you know, like I said, it just has to do with like whatever we decide to do with style of play. You know that when you said the whole shebang with Damian Lillard, you know, we're just gonna be giving up draft picks and you know, things of that nature, man. So like to me, it's all the same thing, because if we trade Sexton, we're gonna have to give something. He's not coming for free. He's still under contract. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have to give away draft pick or whatever. Lonzo Ball, you know, we're going to have to pay him at least 20. At least that's what everybody's saying, 20 million for him to get over here. You know, so that takes away some assets as well. Then, you know, Nunn and Devontae, same thing. If you're going to get these guys, we're going to have to give up draft picks or something to entice a trade or you know, we're going to have to give up cap space or something to this. So no matter what we do, we're going to have to give up something in order to get. But, you know, I just want, like, if we do something, I just want to go all in on whatever we do.
Just for those four guys, the difference between them and getting a guy like Dame, you're going to have to give up the whole shebang. So a guy like Colin Sexton, what is Cleveland trying to do? Like, what are you trying to do? And it's funny that the NBA implemented this plan, too. It was slick. They implemented you can offer a new contract a year before your contract ends. So it puts teams in a bind. So now you got to think this summer if you're Cleveland. Do I really want to pay Colin Sexton after I drafted Garland? And you see Garland after the All-Star break, he was averaging great numbers. And then Sexton comes back and it doesn't really fit with Garland. I don't know, it's tough. So how do they view Sexton? Are you gonna pay him? If you're not gonna pay him, so what do you want in return? Do you want backwards? Do you want happy? Do we need to send Kevin Love to a third team with assets? So we got the pieces to do it, but I don't think we would have to give up a lot to get Sexton. Or even Lonzo. What the hell? Let me ask you. What do the Pelicans need on our roster right now? Unless we're doing I can see a sign and trade with Lonzo and Burks and like draft picks or something like that. Like I can see something like that. But what would the Pelicans want with us?
See, that's the thing. I don't want nothing to do with that, you know, because it's all the same thing. Like, if you're gonna give up draft picks to do a sign and trade, I'd rather just throw the chips at Damian Lillard, because you know, it depends on what you value. I don't value having a draft pick just to sit on the roster. You know what I'm saying? You know, because if we're trying to win, we're not gonna be worrying about developing draft picks. You know what I'm saying? So I'm to tell you the truth, I'm not looking at any of the draft picks. You know what I'm saying? They don't hold value for me, like, to keep them on the roster. You know, so like I said, if you're gonna give multiple picks and all that, I'd rather just do the whole Damian Lillard thing. Is because at least, you know, if you bring Damian Lillard here, he's the number one guy. And then, you know, it's not gonna be like a Melo trade where we're giving away all of our key players just to get Melo here. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna be giving away draft picks, yes. More than likely giving up some cap space to Portland. And maybe, you know, like guys like whoever do we have this on the contract, maybe do a sign and trade to add some other guys just to make the money work a little bit for us, you know. But it's not really the same thing. Like we're not going to give away, Wilson Chandler in his prime. We're not going to be giving away Gallo coming up, you know, future guys like that. We're not going to be giving up like a Mozgov and extra picks and all this other stuff. We're not giving away guys that we could have just kept to build the team better. You know, we're going to be giving them guys that have no meaning to us. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's where I am with it, man. But, you know, like I said, if you're going to give away picks and all that, I would rather just go for the big dog rather than do a sign and trade for Alonzo Ball. Because, you know, like truthfully, good, I'm sorry.
Nah, go ahead. Keep going.
Well, I was going to say, because, like, truthfully, Alonzo Ball doesn't move the needle for me. You know, like in the way to say like a Trae Young or whatever. Trae Young is a point guard that you know, he causes a lot of you know, double teams, a lot of attention. This guy Lonzo Ball doesn't really gather that attention. You know, he's really he's basically like a system guy. He's gonna get the ball back.
Yo, preach. You know, keep going, preach. Y'all. I'm loving everything what you're saying right now. Preach.
Well, you know, I don't want to be long-winded with it, but you know, when like it's more like he's gonna give the ball up, and if the ball comes back to him, he'll be able to shoot the open jump shot. He doesn't drive the basket, you know, the basketball. He doesn't draw double teams and stuff like that. So that all troubles me, man. So I wouldn't want to do a sign and trade for a guy like that. You know, if you're gonna go for it, at least you know Damian Lillard when he comes here, he's at the top of his prime. You can argue that he's coming down, but you know he is who he is. I mean, he's one of the best players in the NBA, and we know what we're gonna get if he does get over here. You know,
yo, it
it's crazy because, like, I don't want to ruffle some feathers, but I would absolutely trade Randle for Dame. And I would try to, I would absolutely trade Randle and a couple pieces for Dame. And I would try to keep RJ, Obi, and Quickly. And then see if you could, and see if you could get a superstar like that. But at the end of the day, I don't even want to do that either. I'm just throwing like different ideas out there, so nobody's mind is in a box. But another reason why I want Colin Sexton, you just named everything that I've been having. Like I done thought about everything you just said in my mind. Like, so I'm glad you said it about Lonzo Ball. He might move the ball. He might get the ball back, and he might not shoot it. He might want to move the ball again. Can I trust Lonzo to get me a bucket in the playoffs in the fourth quarter? I don't know. But can I trust Colin Sexton to get me a bucket in the fourth quarter? I think pretty sure we know damn right he can. So it's when I see a guy like Sexton, and I think about when I think about this roster, I'm thinking about Thibodeau first and foremost. Me and you both know that man is not letting two rookies come through that door. We know this. So why not move the picks for a point guard that he's going to play now? I'm not really interested in us. I see people package the picks, move up for Davion Mitchell. Davion Mitchell is a good player. But do I want to spend another lottery pick on a 22-year-old again? I don't really want to do that. So, and then let's get back to Dame. It's like, I know what Dame is going to give me, but if we do trade for Dame, if he get hurt, then what? Like, if we get a guy like Sexton or a guy like Lonzo and they get hurt, it's like we could still operate. Like, you can't operate after Dame get hurt because all your pieces is gone. Most of your pieces is gone. So that's my take on that. This is why I'm so high on Colin Sexton being a Knick, bro. Like, I'm sick of point guards who don't want to drive to the basket. I'm sick of point guards who just scared of the moment. Like, I want a guy who would just tell Randle, no, you're not getting the ball. No, move. I just want a guy like that. Move.
Yeah, me too, man. But, you know, you mentioned Sexton. You know, me and you talked about Sexton plenty of times. But you also mentioned Kevin Love too, man. Like, a team like Cleveland, like, uh-huh. if we want Sexton, they're going to probably try to want us to get in the mix to either flip Love some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? So that adds, like, another wrench into the equation too, man. Because, you know, what do you think about that? Because you did mention Kevin Love. Do you think we'll have to be a part of that to facilitate another, like, say, like a third team? To get Kevin Love out of that off that team,
yo, you want to hear something even more crazy? So I want to think like a madman. Say in a bizarro world, we take Sexton and Kevin Love. Just in the bizarro world, just a bizarro land.
Yeah, that could happen too, though. Yep.
A big rotation of Randle, Obi, Kevin Love, and I say you get you a big man. Who's our big man? Probably Mitchell Robinson, if they right. Sign Mitch. And Kevin Love is willingly, if he's willing to come off the bench with Obi coming off the bench.
That's getting crazy, man.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. It sounds cool, but we need spacing. I love Taj Gibson. I love what he did for us this year. I love what Nerlens Noel did for us this year. But let's be real. Atlanta ignored both of those dudes on defense, bro. And it made the game so hard for Julius Randle that and another stat I'm going to give you, too. You know Julius Randle and RJ Barrett played the most minutes in the NBA this season. So a couple factors – Randle, tired legs. Randle always getting the ball. RJ, tired legs. He's 20 years old. So maybe you need some bigs to help him out to, you know, get these guys up out of the paint. Colin Sexton could do it. I know Kevin Love could do it. So I don't know, bro. I don't know. That's something to think about, though. I never thought about that until just now.
Well, you know, shout out to the chat, man. You know, I just want to shout out some names here. I'll just start posting it. We got Frank Montos is here. We got Evergreen popped in for a little while. Project Nerd is here. You know, shout out to Evergreen too, because me and Evergreen went down this rabbit hole. You know, earlier in the week. Jose Guerrero's here. Who else? Nick P is here. You know, they're all saying a whole bunch of stuff, man. They're throwing names out like Spencer Dinwiddie. You know, they're talking about Lonzo. They're talking about Devontae Graham. They're talking about all these different guys, man. But here's the thing, that just to scale it back now, you know, just bring it back to offense. How do we want to play? You know what I'm saying? In order to figure out who we want to get, we kind of need to figure out how we want to play. Because if you talk about Sexton and you bring Love in here and then you got all these forwards and stuff like that, you're changing the way that we play. You know, if you bring a Devontae Graham in here, you're changing the way that we play. You know, if you bring all these other Norman Powell, all these different guys, you bring these guys in, you're changing the way we play. So in order for any of this stuff to happen, we have to figure out, like, how do we want to play? Are we gonna use last year as a blueprint, or do you want to change the whole process? How do you feel about that?
I absolutely want to change the way we play. We was last in the NBA in pace. We was one of the worst offenses in the league. Yeah, I definitely want to change the way we play. I don't think the Randall-centric offense is tailor-made for today's NBA basketball. He's just not Jokic. And he's a damn good basketball player, but I don't want my offense being ran through Randall. I want my offense being ran through guards and wings. Randall could be my secondary playmaker when the main guard is off the court, or when RJ Barrett is off the court, or if RJ Barrett is ready next season. Or the third playmaker. I don't want him to be the first playmaker. We've seen in the playoffs, he's just not ready for that. I don't know if it was the fans. I don't know if it's the way Atlanta defended him. I don't know if it was – I just don't know. We just need to give him some help. And I think moving him off the ball would help his game a lot. He already shoots 40% from three. He got that down pack. He got that covered. His shooting is covered. He's one of the best mid-range jump shooters in the NBA. It's just I'm just not interested in seeing him going back into next year's playoffs with this slow pace, and teams is just doubling and triple teaming him, and he has no space to operate. So, okay, we get Devontae Graham. That's going to up the pace. You're damn right we're going to have to change the way we play. If we get Lonzo Ball, that's a faster pace too. You're damn right we're going to have to change the way we play. Now, Kendrick Nunn and Sexton, I think they will fit better in the half-court scheme if you still want to run your offense around Randall. But if you're trying to take the ball out of Randall's hands, then Lonzo and Devontae Graham is probably better options for that. So it's either or. Like, it's tough, bro. Like, it's either or. I like all the options, though. Don't get me wrong.
Well, you know, it's a thing too. Like the NBA is this. The guys just don't play like Jason Kidd anymore. You know, there's only one Chris Paul. You know, nobody else really distributes the ball in such a way where they're there to facilitate the offense outside of Trae Young. Trae Young right now is putting on a clinic because nobody else is playing like Trae Young right now, right? I guess we could speak on him the way that he's playing, because you know the way that the Atlanta's playing is essentially, you know, probably like along the lines of how you would like to play, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Ball movement, you know, Alec Burks would never do the third pass. I've seen so many secondary passes today. I say, yo, Alec Burks would never, bro. Like never. IQ would never. So, yes, I would love to play like them, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just looking at the names that we mentioned. You know, all these guys are really like scorers. You know, they're not really like facilitators for the most part. Lonzo Ball, you know, he's the guy that everyone, you know, talks about. But like I said, he doesn't drive to the basket. So if he's not getting into the paint, then he's not giving you what you want as far as like a facilitator in that way. You know,
Lonzo would definitely have to change his game. He would have to change his game for real, because I understand he don't drive it to the basket enough. But in a Tom Thibodeau type offense, if he's driving to the basket, bro, that man can easily, easily average 10 plus assists. Yeah. Easily.
I love Lonzo when he was on the Lakers. I don't know what the hell happened. Matter of fact, I do know what happened. Your man Stan Van Gundy pushed Lonzo off ball and decided to run his offense through Zion, which is it's an okay move. Like, it's an okay move, but that doesn't help with Lonzo's strengths. For example, Alvin Gentry, right? You see Alvin Gentry. You see Lonzo with the alley-oops to Zion. All of a sudden this year, I don't see no goddamn alley-oops.
Yeah.
So maybe that's on the coaching as well.
Well, let me throw this at you too. Like, you know, Lonzo Ball, they took the ball out of his hands, whatever, his assists went down. Your boy Elfrid Payton, throughout his whole career, he averaged like about 7 assists a game every single year. You know what I'm saying? This year he only averaged 3, and then it got down to the point where he wasn't doing anything. You know, not even averaging, you know, 3 assists a game at the last month and in the playoffs and things like that, man. So, you know, the offense changes everything, man. It could take the energy from a player or it could galvanize a player. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's tough. I would hate to be Leon Rose and these guys. You know, but judging how the NBA is and the guys that are on the list, you know, we need that guy that could score. We want the ball out of Julius Randle's hand as far as getting it back to score. We all agree that we don't want that. But you know, we kind of did a lot of great things this year in the offense. You know, having Julius Randle come down, bringing the ball up the court, it actually puts defenses on their heels because you got a guy at his size bringing the ball up. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of like adds like a little wrench to everything because if it forces your big man to play defense, you know. So that is kind of cool, you know. But you know, somewhere in between there, we kind of got to figure that out, man. So, like we're saying, I think getting that lead guard that guy that's not afraid, like the Sexton, or even just throwing all the chips at Dame. I think this is the way we got to go. We have to get that lead guard that that's going to be able to score. I think that we're both on the same page with that, right?
Yes,
for the most part.
Yes, sir. And it's other young guards to look at, like Malik Monk, like young guards who could help us, you know, put some points on the board. Our defense wasn't the issue against the Hawks. It was the offense. You just couldn't score at certain points of the game when Trae Young was just flurrying basket after basket after basket. So we got to find somebody who would just come and compete. And then that brings me to the free agents. Because two of the notable free agents that Knicks fans has been screaming for about a month is Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry. And yes, Cooley, you are definitely correct. Tibbs didn't adjust offensively. We could have at least made the Hawks break a sweat, and we didn't. And you're definitely correct. And I definitely got at Tibbs a lot of times about this. My issue with Tibbs is adjustments. You have to make adjustments in order to win basketball games. So I watched Tyronn Lue. And this is why some coaches have rings, and this is why some coaches don't have rings. I watched Tyronn Lue go down to the Mavericks and proceeded to bench his starting center. He benched Rajon Rondo, played Terrence Mann over Rajon Rondo, started Nick Batum at center, removed the guy who was clogging the paint, and said, this is how we're going to play now, and proceeded to win the series. The same coach who benched his starting center against the Golden State Warriors in the finals and started Kevin Love at center, and Richard Jefferson at small at power forward to give LeBron more space. It's all about adjustments. And Thibodeau has a hard time doing it. Another coach, too, that I was watching today who got a hard goddamn time of having adjustments. And it's funny how they're both in the same coaching tree, Doc Rivers. These dudes hate adjustments. And Tibbs has to learn how to adjust. The one thing about a coach is with their ideal thinking sometimes be, well, if it ain't broken, you ain't got to fix it. We ain't got to change it. Well, Thibodeau, you better learn how to adapt or you will be somewhere in Alaska coaching in about 2 years, champ. Word.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. You know, he doesn't make any adjustments. He's afraid to take guys. Well, I mean, like him taking Elfrid out the lineup, that was like that was just us throwing in the towel at that point. I feel like you know he had no game plan as far as taking Elfrid out, because that just ruined the whole you know substitution pattern and everything, man. So
yeah,
he just not, you know, we don't have that you know, it is another thing. The other guy got fired too. The whole Knicks coaching tree. What was the guy's name? They got fired. He used to be an assistant coach for the Knicks too. I can't think of the freaking guy's name. Maybe the chat will help us out. Was it Orlando? Was he the coach for Orlando?
Oh, you talking about Steve Clifford?
Yeah, Steve Clifford. You know, yeah. so maybe Steve Clifford. If maybe he might come over to help out. You know, Tom Thibodeau. You know, because he needs somebody next to him. You know, shout out to Johnny Bryant, because Johnny Bryant is supposed to be that guy. So maybe we need to make an adjustment there, man, because there needs to be somebody else in there that'd be like, listen, we need to make an adjustment. If something's not working. We need to do something with this. Somebody else has to be in there to be talking and whatever. But you know, if you're gonna have Tom Thibodeau as this, definitely not into adjustments. We need to get guys in there that he could trust, because that's what it's all about with him. He needs guys that he could trust when he puts out there. So you know, like we already mentioned Sexton and stuff like that. You're talking about free agency. Kawhi, you know, he has a player option. You know, they just beat Dallas, so I'm not sure if you know that dream of us getting Kawhi will come to fruition or whatever. But somebody like that, you know, is what we would need too. We would need people that Tom Thibodeau could trust. And you know, I feel like we're kind of up against the wall with this whole thing. Because that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to get Tom Thibodeau, because I knew we would get here at a certain point. He likes to run his guys into the ground, and he's not going to dig into the bench and use other guys. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to deviate from the game plan. He's going to run it, you know, right through the wall through the whole game plan. So that, you know, I kind of knew that we were gonna be here. So we're here now. So you know, I really don't know how we can approach this thing, because it's definitely a big problem with this team.
And another huge issue I had with Thibodeau that was glaring, it was so glaring. And one thing that I commend Tyronn Lue for, he doesn't go small. He never goes small. I never understood that from Thibodeau. I don't care if Randle's not a rim protector. Go small. Bring out the team's opposing center. And maybe Randle can have more space to operate. It's just certain things that Thibodeau got to do in order to become a championship head coach. It's all about adjustments. So maybe yes. Maybe he needs more people to trust. But I'm going to tell you this, diehard. He's not going to have the luxury of that excuse next season of this, I don't trust you, because we have $60 million in cap space. So you got 60 million reasons why we're going to buy people that you can trust. So right. If we having this adjustment conversation next season, we going to be having a conversation about the next Nick coach.
Yeah, word up. Yeah, absolutely, man. Boost Mobile just said that Tib said he changed. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, I don't know, man. Like Boost Mobile also said that you know, Clifford is like a big man coach. You know, I get all that too, man. But you know, we're definitely gonna be in trouble if next year we're talking about adjustments still, because like you know you mentioned in the playoffs maybe he should have went small. That would have been smart, man. You know, go small, put Julius Randle at the center, pull you know Capella out the paint because he's blocking everything that we do. You know what I'm saying? Go smaller because they have all these shooters, so we need to get more athletic guys out there to reach these shooters, and you know take advantage of our guard play and put two dynamic guards out there in the backcourt. You know that's all, you know, like hindsight is 20/20. But if me and you could think about that, you know, during the game, like why isn't he doing this? Why come he ain't try that? And he's not trying it. That's just a big red flag, red black, you know, red flag for him, because we're not NBA coaches. you know, we never coached the NBA game. We don't, you know, all that is fine and dandy, but it's just simple things that, listen, why don't he just try that? How come he's doing this? Why won't he do that? He should have been prepared for this. This is all big time red flags, and it's going to affect free agency. You know what I'm saying? With the front office. So I don't know how they're going to approach it, man. I really don't know how they're going to approach it.
Yo, it's funny how you said it's going to affect free agency. Because you got to think about it from like a player's perspective. Do I really want to go play for a coach that if I come off the bench, I might only see 13 minutes a game? Like, do I really want to play for a coach that if I'm a starter on this team, I probably might play 46 in a game? Like, I don't know. So NBA superstars is going to be looking at that, and they might be like, nah, I don't know about that. But young players who don't have no ego, who Tibbs can say, that's my guy, those players is the players that we can target, because they're not going to come in and tell Thibodeau what the hell he's going to do. You get what I'm saying? Like, a guy like Sexton, these couple of guys we named before, you know, Sexton, Lonzo, you know, Kendrick Nunn, Devontae Graham, they ain't gonna come in there and tell Thibodeau what to do. You got these diva stars, they telling coaches what to do, they telling management what to do. I don't want my teammate like that. So that's another reason why Thibodeau is a plus, but it's a negative. So we gotta be clear about who the Knicks target. So this is the reason why I want to target younger players, because Thibodeau is a big ego coach. I don't need no ego players in the building. And yeah, you were spot on with that. We might have to look into that more, yo. That's for real.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, man. Guerrero says facts. I'm quite sure he's agreeing with what I'm about to say. Is you know, like exactly what you just said. He needs guys that he can control. You know, getting Damian Lillard, you know, to me, it sounds like a good idea, because we'll have a guy that'll be able to take over. But at the same time, like you just said, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to demand a certain thing. You know, like say he wanted Jason Kidd. You know, he wanted Jason Kidd to be his coach, and Jason Kidd, you know, he shut that down. So, you know, he's not going to want a guy like that that has a bigger ego than he does. You know, so getting the Colin Sexton, somebody that doesn't know how to win yet, you know, him coming here, he'll be somebody that we can possibly control, or he could possibly control. So that's definitely a big point, man. You know, just combing the league too. You know, Sacramento Kings, they got the guy that was talking all that junk. De'Aaron Fox. I'm always crazy with the names, man. But the starting point guard for Sacramento, yeah, De'Aaron Fox. He's another guy for the simple fact that Sacramento don't want to spend money. You know what I'm saying? They already got his replacement. You know, they already drafted his replacement already. So maybe somebody like him we could possibly trade for. You know, everything is really on the board. But that, I think that's a really big point. You know, getting somebody in here that Tom Thibodeau can mold into something that he wants, you know, that somebody that hasn't won anything, that he can get here and put his system in there and possibly, you know, work it that way. So that's definitely a big point there. Big time point.
Yo, that's a huge point, bro. I don't even think nobody even brought that up yet. Dead serious. Cause I don't even think I've thought about that yet until you actually brought it up. Cause now I'm thinking about it. We should go young. We should go young. And hey, I'm good with at least 5 vets on the team. I don't need more than 5. I don't want Thibodeau playing. And I'm going to get into another point, too, that a lot of Knicks fans hate, right? Because a lot of us hate the one-year contract Mercs. Hate them. So we got to get some guys in here who's going to stay for the long haul. And the reason why I bring that up is I seen a tweet from Bobby Marks, and it said that the current Knicks roster, all the 1 year guys, outplayed their current contracts by $28 million. So you inflated their values, all of their values for their next team, but you didn't inflate potential assets you can flip in any trade that you want. Was another huge issue that a lot of Knicks fans, me included, had a problem with this season too. So we gotta find some vets who's going to stay for the long haul. I don't want no more guys like Burks, Nerlens. You know, Reggie Bullock, he was great for us this season, but he could walk too. I need a whole overall of the small forward position. I want to keep Derrick Rose. If he walks, another team want to pay him 10 plus million. May God bless him. Taj Gibson, he wants to retire. God bless him. But Taj Gibson playing minutes on my Knicks team next season is a war crime. War crime, bro. 35 years old and he's playing more minutes than Obi. Oh, man, dog. Oh, man. I'll be calling for Tim's head by the 10th game next season.
You know, it's a two-way street too, man, because Knox has been here for a while. Knox hasn't snapped out of it yet. You know, he's definitely gotten better. He can shoot the three and whatever, but, you know, it's just that extra factor where you could trust him to impact the game, you know, outside of just running the offense, you know. Same thing with Frank. Frank is going to impact the offense that you're running. You know, he's a European guy. So the Europeans, they're really like they're really going to just be a peg in the offense. They're not going to do anything else to instill their will in the game. They're only going to just do what you ask. Knox is the same kind of guy. Obi's different because I think Obi was just maybe shell-shocked from the NBA, really. And he got better, like, in time for the playoffs and stuff. So, I totally believe Obi's going to be great next year, man. So, I'm not worried about Obi topping at all. But, you know, it's just a weird situation, man. We, you know, like, every year, like, the last few years since Scott Perry's been here, We've tacked on these 1 year guys, Moutier, or you know, just go down the line. So many different freaking players that we had over the last, even with you know, Phil Jackson, some of these other guys that we had. You know, there's so many different players that we have just for 1 year, just taking a flyer on them. But that's who we were. We even had we got that dude from Lithuania. Remember him? I forgot his name. We were just pulling their strings, you know what I'm saying? Like just say, hey, you want to play for the Knicks? Fuck it. Come on over here. We got money for you, you know. So, but at the same time, I'm trying to make the point that every year the clientele's gotten better. You know what I'm saying? So, like between last year's 1 year contracts compared to this year these 1 year guys finally, you know, were worth it. You know, to get us to this because we're 41-31. We're 41-31 with these guys. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, just the clientele has changed, man. So, if we can continue that upward climb where we're attracting better tier of players, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm hoping this offseason that after what we did. That the next tier of players will be like, okay, listen, I want in on this. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm hoping, man, because we need that next tier in there. Because I mean, Reggie Bullock is a throwaway player. You know, Burks is a throwaway player. All these guys are throwaway players. But you know, if we can get that next group, you know, to come in, then we'll be better off, man. We just got to figure out who those guys are gonna be.
Yeah. Realistically, you got. RJ, Obi, Quickly, Knox on contracts for this season. So that's four. We got a team option on Mitch, well, which most likely they'll accept. And you got a team option on Randall, which they'll most likely accept. So that's six players you're going into this offseason with. So that you basically have seven new roster spots to fill. Well, six, because I'm keeping Theo Pinson regardless. I don't give a damn what nobody say. I'm putting my hat out there already. Resign Theo Pinson. You got to resign him. Got to keep the bench culture. But we got a lot of pieces to fill. We got a lot of pieces to fill this offseason, man. I'm thinking about the wing spot after we just spoke about 20 minutes on the point guard spot. And I'm thinking about Reggie Bullock and Burks. I'm curious to see what we do at the wing spot, kind of. Because look at free agency. I don't want DeMar DeRozan. I'm good. I would take DeMar if he's willing to play point guard. The man averaged 7 assists this season. I don't know where he learned his facilitation from. I don't know how he got that bag. But, yo, he can facilitate very well at the age he's at right now. I would entertain him, but not at the wing spot. At the point guard spot, yes, in my little own crazy world. But I've seen other people say, yo, he can play point guard spot. I don't want him, though. You
Yo, Kelly Oubre is the next step of those you know, 1 year, you know, maybe possibly 2 year, you know, deal guys. You know, that's like the next echelon. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, getting a guy like Oubre would take it, man. But we just have to think about it in the same grain that when we got Reggie Bullock was not to fill a role, man. So. You know, I think getting if he was to get a Kelly Oubre would definitely be just that role guy, that guy that's gonna get that shot, you know, drive and stuff. It's gonna getting him would improve the way that we play. That's all. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't really necessarily change what we do, but it's definitely gonna improve, you know, the way that we've been playing.
Say that again.
Yeah, I'm just saying like Oubre will be like the next level of player. You know, it would be like, you know, just like just it seemed like we just signed Bullock. Signing Oubre will be that next echelon of player. He's not a guy that you're gonna spend all this money on or whatever, but he will be a guy that you bring in to fill in that same role that Bullock did, you know.
So let me give you a scenario. I want your opinion on this. I seen a trade. I actually seen it if the Warriors had the 14th pick in this year's draft, would you take Andrew Wiggins in the 14th pick in a trade? Because they're going to, if they don't trade Andrew Wiggins, they're going to have to pay repeater's tax. The repeater's tax, I believe, and I don't know if I'm going to be wrong with this, so excuse me if I'm wrong, people. But I believe it's the most they will have to pay like $309 million or something like that. Like something ridiculous they would have to pay. And mind you, they haven't had any playoff runs.
Well, you got the mic is a little bit going crazy, man, with the wind, I think. But I can hear you though. You're talking about getting. My question is absolutely yes. If we're just gonna give up our draft pick and somehow absorb Wiggins into our payroll, then that's exactly what we need, because Wiggins could create his own shot, number one. He could shoot the three decent. And he shoots over way over like 50-something% from the field as a wing guy is incredible. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely exactly what we need. And then he could play either the three or the two. So you could slide either player, RJ or Wiggins, to defend you know, whoever we need to defend, and just mismatch them according to matchup and stuff. And also too, man, that's the extra score that we need, because Wiggins he basically averaged 18 points the last two seasons in Golden State. So, you know, but in his career, he's gotten up to 24 points a game or something like that, back and forth for 20 in Minnesota. So getting a player like that, we know that he can get buckets, man. So that's a clear upgrade over what we're doing, because you just take Reggie Bullock out of the starting lineup and you stick Wiggins in there. Now all of a sudden, we have a really good basketball team, and we didn't even spend a whole bunch of money yet. So we still have the opportunity to get involved in a trade for like a Sexton, or getting a trade for like a you know, whoever else that we want, man. So getting someone like Wiggins, I think that's something that we should do, you know.
So
I got you. I'm gonna unmute you, bro. I had muted you for a second.
Oh,
all right. So you're back.
So boom. So now you got Wiggins, the 14th pick, the 19th pick, and the 21st pick. You could package those three picks, move into the lottery, still get the guy you want. Now you got a wing, right? Now you got a starting wing for the next 2 years. And you get to see the beautiful part of this is, and the reason why I'd be wanting to paint this picture for people when it comes to Andrew Wiggins. Like, I understand if you think he's trash, like, I understand. You know, he's a number one pick. He should be way better than what he is. I understand. I respect it. But Andrew Wiggins has been one of the top 10 rated defenders this season. I know that. That boy, even Golden State fans, they say Wiggins Island. So yeah. The point I'm getting at is you're going to be watching Andrew Wiggins and RJ Barrett this summer playing for the Olympics for Team Canada. And I know that every time when players go to Olympics and they come back that next season, they put up career highs across the board. So RJ Barrett, I'm penciling him in for the All-Star team next season. But if we was to get Wiggins and now both of them just played in the Olympics together, and now they both coming back to the Knicks, and Wiggins already played for Thibodeau, so he know what's to expect. And probably he's older now. He's coming from Golden State, so he's more mature. He's played with Curry. He played with real leaders. So now you could, now you got something clicking. So now Randle, now the pressure's off Randle because you got another guy who can get their own shot. The pressure's off RJ Barrett because you got to respect Wiggins. You got to respect Wiggins at the three-point line, and you got to respect Wiggins driving to the basket because he will dunk on you. But defense, defensively, Wiggins with RJ Barrett would be nice. Would be nice to see. And then last and final point, and I'm gonna throw this at you. You know, I'm looking at free agency, bro, for the next 2 years. And Wiggins, yes, Wiggins' contract ends 2022-2023. So I look at free agency the next 2 years, diehard. I don't see not a goddamn soul I want free agency next 2 years. I'm being real honest with you. I don't see a soul. Like, who you want? Bradley Beal? I don't want Bradley Beal. I got my franchise shooting guard already. His name is RJ Barrett. I don't want Zach LaVine. You want 34, 35-year-old Steph Curry? You know, that sounds nice. you want an old man LeBron James? I mean, that sounds cool. So why not get Andrew Wiggins? I mean, I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know. I've been campaigning for this for a while now.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to just go with what Briggs Nation said. Briggs Nation said that Wiggins makes too much money. Okay, $33 million, right? They were saying that that Julius Randle made too much money. He only made $19 million. And they were complaining about Julius Randle that we paid him too much. You know what I'm saying? So how much is too much for a basketball player? We were just talking about Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard, eventually, at the end of his contract, is going to make $54 million. Woo! You know, we got John Wall making 40-something. What's the name? CP3 is going to turn down $44 million because he wants more than that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when does it end with these contracts? Even let's say Kawhi. If he was to lure Kawhi over here, Kawhi's not coming over here for $20 million. Uh-uh. You know what I'm saying? He's coming over here for the bag. You know, for whatever his max is. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna be if you're looking at a star player, we're definitely gonna have to pay these guys $40 million a year. So getting Wiggins for 33, with the production that he gives you. Of course, you know, he has no fire. I agree with that. You know what I'm saying? He makes too much money is one thing. But, you know, there's certain negatives to players, right? But for his production, for his ability to handle the ball, for his ability to finish in the in-between game, for the ability for him to just give him the ball and say, give me a bucket, you know, for $33 million, that's kind of like a discount. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you're going to do that, get guys here. Because now we're in agreement that we need to get guys here that Tom Thibodeau trusts and he can control. So Wiggins is definitely one of those type of players, man. So I'm down with it. If we was to make a trade for Wiggins and take him into our salary, we're still going to have like $25 million or close to $30 million to spend now. So then we can get into the mix with Cleveland, get Sexton, maybe help them move Love, maybe flip Love and get us another player. And now you're just playing, you're just cooking with grease with that, with there, man. You know what I'm saying?
Boom. Yeah. Now you got a starting five. Boom.
Yeah, you got a starting five. And just to say it so people can hear it, you got Randle, RJ. You're going to have Mitch there. You put Wiggins there. And now you got Sexton. We just painted a light brush across a canvas of how we can get these guys. And getting Wiggins and Sexton added to this current team and take away Bullock and Elford, you can't tell me that we didn't get better.
And then you got to think about this too. You got Luka coming in, right? So Luka going to be playing in the Olympics too. So we don't know who Luka is yet. We don't really know who he is yet. And another thing, and I know you probably don't even want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Frank Ntilikina is playing in the Olympics as well. He started for France. So
I definitely want to hear that.
I know you don't, but I gotta say, you know, I gotta show my man Frank some love. So, you know, you got multiple guys who's going to be playing in the Olympics, and I just feel like it's just a part of me is just wanting Andrew Wiggins and his environment. And another thing too, y'all said Andrew Wiggins got no fire. Who's to say Nick Nation won't bully his ass until he get fired, huh? Because we did it to Randle. We bullied him. He had the most improved season. so I don't know.
Yo, he was playing in Minnesota. What the hell is there to do in Minnesota? You know what I'm saying? Like, Minnesota is so cold, right? I've never been there, but guys are telling me that it's so cold that they connect the buildings because they don't want people walking the street. It's too cold to walk the street. So they actually have, like, walkways in the sky where people transfer. They walk from building to building. So if you want to go to a certain place, you walk through the buildings. You don't actually walk the street in Minnesota. So that's how dead it is in Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? The best thing that they ever had was Prince. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing else in Minnesota to do. You know what I'm saying? So Wiggins, in my opinion, if he got here, he would have the same effect that, say, like Obi had when the crowd got here, Obi all of a sudden, you know, got courage and shit. So I'm thinking that if Wiggins gets here with a crowd that's gonna cheer all those plays that he's known for, because when he got to Golden State, he grew from that. You know, he grew to that next he just proved that he could play at that level with Golden State, play with better players, playing with in that offense, playing playoff basketball, that type of thing. So he already proved that he could do that. So coming to the Knicks, I think he would just make that next step, you know, just because you know, the players, the city is just gonna appreciate what he does way much better than say like a team like Minnesota did, you know. Man, I got you, man. I gotta admit you. I got you.
I would, man. Tibbs just got it. Just get me a good starting five, man. A good wing. We need a wing bad. I think the wing position is more needed than the point guard position. And I've been saying that for a while now. Like, point guard, we definitely need it. But that wing position, if we're gonna get to the next level, we gotta get a guy who can get their own bucket. Gotta get a guy like that. And then this leads me back to the guard position, because we didn't speak about this enough. And it's Chris Paul. And, you know, you said Chris Paul's declining his contract, you know, $44 million. And he wants a three-year. I've seen it. I know you've seen it. Seen the post, too. I know Nick Fain's seen it, too. Three-year, $100 million. No way in God's green earth am I giving Chris Paul 3 years, $100 million. I don't care what nobody said. I'm not giving him 3 years, $25 million. I don't want to guard that old. You know what it give me vibes of, bro? Getting a guard that old. It give me 2012 Nick vibes. It give me 2005 Nick vibes. Yeah, let's just get us any vet off the scrap heap. I don't really want guys like that. I'm good, bro.
Yeah, I'm with that too, man. But also too, that like CP3 is a guy that bangs the ball all day long. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy that needs the ball in his hand to facilitate. You know, it's succeeding in Phoenix because, you know, he's playing with a coach that knows him. You know, so the coach is going to let CP3 do his thing. You know, and they really just play a lot of – like, all that's another fraud with all these coaches and stuff too, man, because they have star players. You know, Phoenix has star players. The Clippers has star players. All these teams have star players. So whenever they don't know what to do, all you got to do is give the ball to your star and let them do it. You know what I'm saying? So that's all flawed shit there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but I'm just with you. It doesn't feel right to give CP3 a 3 year, $100 million contract. You know, because look, what are we doing? Because we still don't have anybody for him to pass to. You know, so why are we paying him all that bread? And we're gonna pay CP3 all that bread, but then guys are saying that Wiggins makes too much money. You know what I'm saying? So who are we gonna give for CP3 to pass to? And then now we're gonna start talking about giving 1 year deals to the Bullocks of the world. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody wants to pay somebody $30 million because they say that's too much money. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, give me a guy like CP3 or give me a guy like this, and but then you don't want to pay no money to get nobody else here for them to pass through. You know, it's like a crazy conversation.
So two things. Before they leave my brain, what you talking about with CP3 contract situation, it reminds me of Julius Randle contract, right? And Knicks fans, they keep saying, oh, we're going to give Randle the 4-year, $106 million. How the hell you know Randle going to accept that contract? Like, let's be real. He's going to walk away from $100 million? Do we know this? Like, are we positive? So,
yeah, but people think that they're like Miss Chloe. They think that they know the future. Oh, they're not going to do that. He's going to do that. You don't know. Nobody knows nothing. This is all speculation. You know what I'm saying? But people will say, no, the way what I'm saying, they're definitely going to do. What you're saying, they're never going to do. That's what always trips me out in these fucking arguments. That's why I've been trying to stay away from Twitter, because people are doing that. They're actually jumping into my tweets, and I just ignore them now. I'm not getting into that conversation, because you can't tell me what you're saying is right because of whatever, and what I'm saying is wrong, man. It's like, get out of here. It's all opinion. Like, unless you got a hot tub, you know, a time machine in your hot tub, you don't know what the hell is going on, man. Yeah, so, I didn't mean to cut you off, bro.
Nah, you good, bro. But that killed me, that part. So we just had to let that be known. But the second thing is, it's only one way I would entertain Chris Paul. If you let all the vets walk and you decide that you're going to bring both draft picks into the building and you decide you're going to play Kevin Knox next season and you decide you're going to empower the young boys and you say, hey, let's get Chris Paul to get these young boys working. Now, I can sit here as a fan and say, okay, you promoted Knox. Okay, you're going to give Obi more minutes. You're not going to play Taj Gibson no more. Okay, now you're going to play Mitch. Okay, you got a young wing. Oh, okay. Oh, you got Malik Monk in here? Oh, all right. So now I can see the vision in getting Chris Paul, because you got nothing but young guys, so they're going to need direction. You get what I'm saying? So that's the only way I would possibly entertain Chris Paul. Even in a Andrew Wiggins trade, bro, I would entertain Chris Paul. Even in the Andrew Wiggins trade, I would. I honestly would.
But we would have to secure Wiggins in order for me to do that Chris Paul trade, because I just that was the argument last summer when we were talking about CP3 with Westbrook. It was saying that, oh, why are we bringing Westbrook here, because Westbrook is this, he can't shoot and all this other stuff. But then the counter argument with everyone that wanted CP3 is that CP3 was going to come here to teach the Knicks how to win. Like, but you know, hindsight is 20/20. He ended up in Phoenix, so CP3 thinks that he could still play at a high level. So he's not going to want to come to a team and be like, okay, listen, this is how you shoot. You know, you put the ball on the air, you put your fingers there, you point at this is how you cut. I want you to cut a certain way. Oh, you didn't do it right this time. Good job, man. You know, that's not what he wants to do. He thinks that he can still play at a high level, man. So if he comes to the Knicks, we're going to have to secure Wiggins. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have to secure another player too, in order for CP3 to even want to come here. Because I know for a fact that he's not going to come here just for the simple fact that he likes Leon Rose. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe that he likes the way that the hot dog cart on 49th Street and on Third Avenue. He likes the way the hot dog sticks. He's not coming in for that. You know what I'm saying? He's coming here because he thinks that the Knicks have a chance to win something. So if you're going to get CP3, it's definitely going to be – it has to be something else down the pipeline. Because, this is the same thing. It's all opinion, you know what I'm saying? But I just can't see CP3 coming here just to be a life coach. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's coming here because he thinks that he could still ball, and he wants to win something, you know?
So I'm going to throw this point at you, and I want to see how you feel about this. So – CP3 going to Phoenix. Let's put it in context of why he went to Phoenix. You just watched a 21, 22-year-old guard average 27-6 and become an all-star. And you just watched a number one overall pick in DeAndre Ayton. I believe what did he average last year? I believe it was like 18-10 at least. It had to be 18-10. So when you see those two pillars, you're damn right Chris Paul is going to go over there. Now, look at the Knicks. Our two pillars, R.J. Barrett, just coming off of last season. He didn't look promising. Randle, just coming off last season. He didn't look promising either. So maybe another season of seasoning on their games probably, you know, would land us a guy like Chris Paul. This is why I'm not really high on the whole Kyle Lowry thing either, because it's like, okay, you want Kyle Lowry, cool. What's next?
Yeah.
You want DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry? I don't want, no.
Well, the conversation with Kyle Lowry was for, because we thought that we were better than we are. You know what I'm saying? We thought that we were going to sweep the Atlanta Hawks, and we thought that we were going to do this. Oh, bring on Philly and all this other bullshit that we were saying. You know, we was on that level. You know what I'm saying? So now that the real Knicks came out, just simply getting Kyle Lowry is not going to be the answer. And now I don't even think Kyle Lowry will want to come here, because he would have to come here to do too much. You know what I'm saying? He would have to come here with other, you know, it would have to be like a whole another rabbit hole that we would have to go down, man. So you know, it's all interesting, man. I'm looking at the Suns roster, you know, too, just to add on to your Cameron Johnson. You know, they already had Jack, you know, Sarek, Kaminsky. They had a couple guys there that could actually play, they could actually shoot. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it wasn't just those two guys. It was a simple fact that they had those guys and plus Monty Williams. So it was just like a perfect atmosphere for him to succeed over there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, here is a different kind of situation.
That's a fact. So that's why I'll be telling people, and I'll be telling Knicks fans, you got to target players who have low egos, a la like Andrew Wiggins, players who are going to, you know, come in and add to the culture. A guy like Colin Sexton, you know, Colin Sexton is a dog. You know, he's going to come into practice. He's going to bring that fire. You got to just target those type of guys. Like Chris Paul would be cool, but I just need somebody younger. Need somebody fresher, some fresh legs out there. I think the Knicks would serve themselves better getting just young pieces. Julius Randle's he's a good player. If you want him to be a great player, or if you want to reach MVP level, you can't bring in another all-star caliber player into the Knicks this offseason and expect for Julius Randle to average 24, 11, and 6 again. So we got to just stay the course. I think if you add a couple of young players, I think Randle could reach another level. Now, depending on who those said young players is, remains to be seen. Do you think he has another level to reach, or you think he maxed out his ceiling?
I don't think you can you can ask him to get much better than he did, because he was like 22, 10, and 6 or 7, whatever it was. That's pretty decent, man. If that could be his career, then you know, you can't really. I mean, how much better can he get? The only thing that he can really do is just get to the next level, as far as like cleaning up his offensive game. And just cleaning up his ability to lead and pace himself in the game, man, because that killed us too in Atlanta, man. He just totally lost it. He lost his grip on the game. So his next development is just going to be him, you know, just settling down and just feeding off into the game. That's really it, man. But you know, I see on May 4th in Boost Mobile, they're talking about centers. May 4th is talking about trading Mitch and Quickly for Wiseman. And you know, Boost Mobile's asking the state if saying that we need to get a postman with a jumper. So what do you think about that, man? Because I, you know, to me, in my opinion, I think that might be just a waste of energy, you know, waste of assets, because we already have a center, you know.
Ooh.
But it is a conversation to have, though.
I love that topic. You know why? Because I like to bring up this same name. I always bring up. Go get me Mo Bamba next. Go get me Mo Bamba. He shoots the three. He already spaces the floor, and he rim protects. Basically, the black Brook Lopez. That's what the Knicks need right now. We need a Brook Lopez.
Type. Yeah.
And people talking about, we need a center that can space the floor. Mo Bamba is probably the best thing we could get. On the market, like just for this offseason, I can't think of another center right now who can rim protect and shoot the three and who's around that young age that I'm looking at besides Mo Bamba. And Mo Bamba next to Randle will be beautiful, because now a Capella, he can't just sit in the paint. Not against Mo Bamba, because Mo Mo Bamba can shoot three, and that is one of the players that I got my eye on for sure, for sure. That's why I love the topic of jump shots. Love that topic, sending shooting jumpers.
Yeah, I like the topic too, man. But Mo Bamba, you know, the guys say, man, the price of coke done went up, man. He played pretty good, you know, coming off his injury and whatever, man. So I think they're gonna keep him. They're gonna definitely keep Mo Bamba over there. Maybe in the beginning of the year they might have traded him away, but I think now Mo Bamba is definitely gonna be a fixture there for them in on that center spot. So I mean, like they also got Wendell Carter Jr. over there too, man. So it's a possibility that he could be waving. But for everything that you say with blocking shots, running the floor, shooting threes, I think they're gonna find a spot for Mo Bamba, man.
Yep. Let's stay on the Orlando Magic topic real quick, right? Because that's okay. My favorite trade partner for this offseason. I would love for the Knicks to trade with Orlando Magic. And you talk about Mo Bamba, but then you brought up Wendell Carter Jr. They traded for Wendell Carter Jr. Steve Clifford just left, right? That was Mo Bamba coach, right? So they're going into a new rebuild. They just re-signed Jonathan Isaac, so you don't know how he's going to look when he gets back. They just signed Markelle Fultz. They drafted Cole Anthony. So it's a lot of question marks with Orlando. So, I wish the Knicks could get a trade package of a Mo Bamba and Markelle Fultz, or Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba. Jonathan Isaac with Fultz, just that team in general. Like I see them as a great trade partner for us, and their roster is just full of redundancy. And I don't know. I think they choose Wendell Carter over Mo Bamba. So I think Mo Bamba is really gettable right now. Just this offseason, I think he is. Ross,
a team that's just like redundant.
Very redundant. Okay. Look at the roster. And I'm looking at
man.
You got Iggy. That's redundant. Cole Anthony.
RJ Hampton. You got Gary Harris is over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So many different players, man.
Oh, another point just got to my head, too. So Orlando Magic have the Chicago Bulls lottery pick. So if the Bulls lottery pick is not top four, it goes to the Orlando Magic. So do you think Orlando would want two new lottery picks to step into this situation without offloading some of those guys? You get what I'm saying? Like, you don't need Markelle Fultz if you're going to try to build RJ Hampton and Cole Anthony. You know? What if they get the one pick and they get Cade? They damn sure not going to need Markelle Fultz. So that's another avenue I'm looking at, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, man. Orlando, you know, I don't know. It seems like that, you know, that you look at them, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're just trading. And then out of nowhere, the motherfuckers are in the finals and shit, man. Because they all of a sudden, they make that right move and they get the next guy. Next thing you know, they're in the finals. Man, so I freaking hate teams like that, man. But, you know, it is what it is, man.
Hey, the Raptors did it.
Yeah, basically the Raptors did it. The Boston did it way back in the days. You know, before they made those trades for KG and Ray Allen and stuff like that. They were just about to get rid of Paul Pierce. You know what I'm saying? They was about to just let it go because they was getting all these draft picks. They had you know, all these old school names that probably nobody's gonna remember. Man, they had all these different guys on a team, and then out of nowhere they traded half of them. And now here they go. They win the championship. It's annoying, man. I see guys talking about Cat in the chat, man. What do you think? You a fan of Cat?
I love Cat.
I love Cat, man, but I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
I don't want Cat on my Knicks, man. I don't want Cat on my Knicks, man. And look, listen. Shout outs to you, my brother. Cat is available. He wants out. I have not read that. I have not been on Twitter for the past about 2 hours. So when I visit Twitter, I will see if that is true. as far as Carl Anthony Towns is concerned, I'm not interested in a Cat Randall front court. It sounds disgusting as I'm saying it. No defense whatsoever. But I would love Cat next to RJ Barrett, though. I tell you that. I would love Cat next to RJ Barrett. But the Cat Randall front court, nah, dog. I'm good, dog. I'm good, with all due respect. And with all due respect, I'm going to give Cat his props. Randall just averaged 24, 11, and 6 in a career year. Cat just averaged 25, 11, and 4 in a down year, with 6 of his family members passed away and his mom's passed away in a down season. So, like, he's levels, it's levels to this. I will love Cat, but nah. Not right now.
Yeah, I just think it's not the way that the NBA goes, man. We doubling down on in two offensive kind of big men. So you know, the offense is definitely going to come back to them. And, you know, they're big men. You don't want your big – like when Julius Randle goes in between his leg 40 different times, it's like, oh, come on, man. You know, that's just an offensive killer, man. So if you got two guys when they get the ball and they're going to be ended up stepping back, shooting threes and all this other stuff, who's getting rebounds? You know what I'm saying? Who's doing all that, all the stuff that big men are traditionally supposed to do, you know, be enforcers and stuff like that. If your enforcer is like the point guard, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're in big time trouble. That, you know, that's why the Clippers keep having problems, man, because the enforcer is the point guard. Whatever the freaking guy's name is. And now they got Rondo and all these other guys on that team too. Your enforcers are point guards, man. So that's not gonna work for them over there, you know. So we can't do the same thing, you know.
And it's crazy because, you know, you just said that their enforcers is point guards, and finally, 2017 Kawhi Leonard wakes up today, and he's woken up the past two games. So now he's looking like the enforcer, the guy I know. Yo, people don't understand. Like, yo, Kawhi was really good in 2017, bro. Like, he really looked like Kobe Bryant. RIP, God rest Kobe, the great being soul. He looked like Kobe Bryant that whole season, my Lord. And Kawhi is a template for me upon how guys can get better. Because in Kawhi's fourth season, he averaged 21 points. You know, his first three seasons, I think it was like 8 points. Then it was like 12 points. Then it was like 16 points. But he got better every single season. He didn't dribble like this years ago. Like today, when I see him do the double between the legs, I said, oh, that was a Kawhi when he was on the Spurs. He was not like that. And he developed his game, and he's gotten way better. He's gotten to the point where he's been a finals MVP for two different teams. I got to respect that. Kawhi is a great template for a guy like RJ Barrett, who game is not flashy. Kawhi game ain't flashy, but he gets the job done. Boring basketball player, by the way. Same like RJ, boring basketball player, but they both get the job done. And Kawhi.
You know, when you were talking about Randall here, like his next step is becoming Kawhi. You know, because Kawhi has got to the point now that he has like like go to moves. He has spots on the floor that he can get to, and you know it's going to be a bucket. You know, Julius Randle doesn't quite have that yet. You know, he's trying to figure out where his spots are, his uncomfortable spots. RJ. You know, I'm looking at RJ to be more closely to like what's his name? The dude in Miami, you know, I'm always messing with the names, man. But you know, I'm you know, getting to that level where you get to your spot and you just know that you can score there and be calm about it, not be so razzled, waiting for the referees to bail you out and all this other stuff. Yeah, Jimmy Butler. Yeah, man. So you know, I feel like that's their trajectory as far as them getting better anytime soon. But you know, We just have to wait and see then. But until then, you know, we still have the opportunity to get other players in here to help expedite this whole thing as far as the team is concerned.
Another sneaky move I would look at if I'm the Knicks. I would definitely bring in Victor Oladipo. And I just thought about that in my head while I was talking.
Well, yeah, you got to explain that
one. So I know he might be hurt for for most of the next season. I know he might not play for the next season, but the season after that, he's going to be playing. So I wouldn't mind bringing him in for a year, get his body right, get him in the program, get him up to speed, you know. But he has no rush. He has no pressure to get back fast. And then it's a high risk, high reward. I wouldn't pay him a lot of money. But if he comes back that following season and he's looking like Victor Oladipo of the old, if he's coming off the bench, if he started, then that would be a great investment. That's just me. That's a guy that I think that's a guy that you put a little money into, get him right, and see how he's looking the following season. Just, you know, small little moves that that the Knicks should be thinking about, like those type of moves, forward-thinking moves.
I'm with the forward-thinking moves, but I don't know about wasting bread on a guy to sit for a year. Oladipo?
Real cheap. I'm talking cheap, brother. I'm talking real cheap, brother. I ain't talking no real contract here. I'm talking $5 million. I'm talking 2-year, $10 million type cheap. And I think he would take it after that type of injury.
Yo, if you're talking cheap like that, man, that's like sticking batteries in the freezer and hoping that when you take them out, they give you a little charge. That's cheap. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you're talking about, basically. Sticking batteries in the refrigerator. You know what I'm saying?
That's all I'm trying to do, man. I'm trying to get us better for the years to come because we 2 years away from being 2 years.
Yeah. But just to get towards the end of this thing now, man, I think we in agreement that we both like Sexton, and I think we can facilitate some kind of deal to get Sexton and possibly another player in that mix some kind of way in a 3-3 team trade. If that's possible, just to get Love around, maybe even take Love's contract. You know, that all might be something that we can do. Then also we were talking about Wiggins, you know, so getting Wiggins and a Sexton, those two players just to upgrade Bullock and Elfrid Payton on this current team, is basically, you know, that's I think that would be a great offseason if we did that.
Just Sexton will have to buy in the most. He's the guy who will have to buy in. If Sexton could be like, I could feed these boys and I could get my shot whenever, but I could feed everybody first. If he comes in with that mindset, that man would be, man. His ceiling is what he can make it to be. Because you already averaged 24, 4, and 4. So we know you could score a bucket. We know you a bucket. But can you do other things to affect the game? Is your defense there? Are you competitive on defense? Can you rebound a little more? What type of leader is you? I look at a guy like De'Aaron Fox. Do you think De'Aaron Fox is a good leader, dog? I don't
know. Nah, I don't think so.
So... No, Sexton, man, that's my number one target for the Knicks as far as like point guard, shooting guard. I know some people say he's a shooting guard. For me, I think he's a point guard. I think Tibbs will probably think he's a point guard as well because he's just too short to be a shooting guard. And I that's my guy. That's who I would love to see on this team. Ball, you're definitely right. Sexton is a dog, man. He's a dog. That's what we need. We need more dogs. I need a guy who's going to look at Julius Randle. Yo, big dog, get the hell out the paint. I got this, G. Move. Like, I need a guy like that.
Well, just against a team like Atlanta, because now we know Atlanta's going to be here. They're going to be our nemesis probably next year as well. So, but if we get Sexton to go against, Trae Young, he's going to be able to bang with him. You know what I'm saying? If Trae Young is going to do one thing, Sexton is going to get him on the other end, man. So that's exactly how you defend Trae Young by making him play defense on the other end. So we all know that he can't play defense. You know, he has ability to get better. But having to have to deal with Sexton on the other end, you know what I'm saying? And then Sexton is going to do this, too. Sexton is going to be doing a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? And he's not afraid, too. So that's another thing, too. So the crowd don't got to say, fuck Trae Young. He's going to be like, fuck Trae Young. And fuck your father over there in the sixth row, too, while we're here. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of energy that Sexton has, man. So, you know, getting him definitely would be good. And then, you know, when you're talking about pressure and energy and stuff like that, Wiggins doesn't have a motor and all this other stuff. If you got Sexton and you got, you know, like Tom Thibodeau and what we bring to the table defensively and stuff like that, adding Wiggins can now just chill. You know what I'm saying? Because that lane to the basket is gonna be all his. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna have that ability to do, you know, to be ISO guy, the ISO guy from time to time, man. So I like that. I like that a lot, man.
And what's even more crazy? You can't hide Trae Young on Andrew Wiggins. You can't hide him on Andrew Wiggins. You got to hide him on Reggie Bullock. You can't hide him on Andrew Wiggins. From earlier today, it's why Doc Rivers and Tibbs, and they're cut from the same cloth. I seen Tobias Harris say, well, we should have put Trae Young in more actions and make him defend harder. Well, don't you think? Well, if you had Colin Sexton, you wouldn't need to put Trae Young in no actions because Sexton is going to seek him out. So, boom, Lonzo Ball. Do you really think Lonzo going to give Trae Young 30 points? I don't know about that, dog. I don't know about that. But I know Sexton will give him a cool 40.
Trae Young will be taking a break on defense with Lonzo Ball there, because Lonzo, you don't got to worry about Lonzo Ball driving. It's going to be the same situation with Elfrid, except the guy can shoot it. He can actually hit the three. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be the same situation with, you know, like I said, we'll get better passes. You know what I'm saying? With Ball, we'll get a better 3-point shot, but we're going to get the same action otherwise. And I can argue that Elfrid's probably like a better finisher inside than Ball is. You know what I'm saying?
You definitely could argue that. Ball does not drive to the basket. I think I've seen a stat where he was like in the bottom half of the league in drives to the paint. Like, and that's alarming. Maybe it's because of the system he was in. Because, you know, this guy, Stan Van Gundy, he can't coach, man. God, Lonzo can't shoot guard, man. I know we've been killing Lonzo this whole pod, but you know, Lonzo's a good player. Maybe it's just Stan Van Gundy. And maybe Stan Van Gundy was just holding Lonzo back because we all know Lonzo needs the ball in his hands. Maybe putting Lonzo Ball off ball for a season helped with his development. Just like how RJ Barrett has been playing off ball to Julius Randle helps his development. So maybe it's good for his career moving forward. But just off what I've seen, and what I want from a point guard and how that Atlanta series went, for me personally, I want a point guard that could go at Trae Young. I'm just looking at matchups, future matchups. Who the hell are we going to get to go at LaMelo Ball in future playoff series? We got to get somebody to go at these dudes. Who are we going to get to go at Kyrie Irving in the playoff series? Kemba Walker, if he's still in Boston, you know. That's tough. So, yeah, we gonna need a dog at point guard. We New York is not a place for a Jason Kidd type of point guard. I don't want a point guard like that. I want a dog at point guard, somebody I could trust that I know is gonna go at Trae Young. So that's my thing on the whole Sexton thing.
Yo, the thing about Jason Kidd though, Jason Kidd can get in the paint. You know, Jason Kidd was getting in the paint whenever he felt like it in his prime. You know what I'm saying? So. You know, Lonzo Ball can't get in the paint, so comparing him to Kidd comparing him to like 38-year-old Kidd is probably a little bit more, you know, like closer to the prime. You know, definitely not the same kind of guy.
No, that's true. That's true. But the one thing, you know, staying on the Lonzo Ball subject, that will be an interesting backcourt with Ball and RJ Barrett, because now. Your point guard is 6'6". Your shooting guard is 6'7". So now you can, like, cross match up. That's another guy. Honestly, I would like him too, Andrew Wiggins, at the three spot. I would like him too. Because now you got Wiggins and Ball. You know, Ball is already, I think he's a top 5 rated point guard defender in the league. We both know he's a great defender at the point guard position. We both know that Andrew Wiggins this season has been a great defender for Golden State Warriors. It's been various games where he shut down other team superstars. So that's another starting five: Lonzo Ball, RJ Barrett, Wiggins, Randle, Mitch. Another starting five I could look at and I could say, oh, okay. And don't get us wrong, like, the only reason why we keep mentioning Andrew Wiggins is because who else would you want as a Knicks fan starting that small forward? You want Kelly Oubre? You want Otto Porter Jr.? I damn sure don't want Otto Porter Jr. You got my guy May 4th in the chat talking about Miles Powell. This is how the bar is so low for Nick point guards, bro. He said Miles Powell. Oh God. Oh my God.
Yeah, but he ain't lying though, man. You know, I would like to have somebody out there that would have pulse that played that point guard spot for us, man.
Yeah, but we know Thibodeau, man. Everything is Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And yes, you want two draft picks to come in here, but God damn it, is Thibodeau going to play them? Yeah. Yes, you want a young point guard. Yes, people want Josh Giddey. Yes, you want Davion Mitchell. Yes, you want Sharif Cooper. I know y'all want all of these guards. Is Thibodeau really going to play them over Emmanuel Quickly?
Come. Yeah, now, yeah, that's Emmanuel Quickly's job now, man. So he's not going to give up the job to a rookie unless the rookie comes out there and does what Quickly did last year. You know what I'm saying? And shows you so much heart that he has to play him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't anticipate that happening again. You know?
Nah. The one thing I like about our 2020 draft picks, both of them seem like dogs, and both of them play well in crowds. That was the main thing. I think me and you killed Obi for like 2 months, bro. We just destroyed Obi. We saying play Knox over Obi. We saying Obi looks disgusting playing basketball. Dude put up 5 straight games, 0 points. Dude, he was bad.
Yeah.
And then the crowd comes in. 10 games, I think it was like at game 60, the crowd comes in. Obi is alive now. God damn, it took this man a crowd to come alive. But then I thought about it. Think about the crowds at Dayton. Think about what he was doing at Dayton. And think about how he's the type of, he's an energy player. He's a guy who feeds off the crowds. He plays well under pressure. Like, I like Obi. I like what I see with Obi in the offseason. So we gotta keep growing on that. And Boss, how's the ball, man? You've been putting a lot of comments today, man. I really appreciate your help today, brother.
Really? Yeah, man. Shout out to Ball, man. May 4th is in here now too, man. Thank you for his hijinks. You know what I'm saying? But Ball has definitely, been a nice little co-host there in the comment section, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And Ball, you're definitely right, bro. We got enough young guys. Time for some real players. You're definitely right, bro. You're definitely right. And this is another reason why I'm thinking about Andrew Wiggins. Like, and Andrew Wiggins, and don't let it just be Andrew Wiggins that we're talking about. Andrew Wiggins and Golden State's lottery pick. Put it in context, Golden State has been losing a lot of money. They don't want to pay the repeaters tax. Klay Thompson's coming back, you know. So maybe they give us Andrew Wiggins and the 14th pick. So now you got the 14th pick, the 19th pick, and the 21st pick. You package all those three picks. I know we can move up to at least 7. I'm going to avoid the 8th pick altogether. I'm good. I don't want Frederick Weiss, Frank Ntilikina, Obi Toppin. I don't want the 8th pick no more. So the 7th, 6th pick, the 9th pick. And now you can get a guy like Jalen Johnson or Scottie Barnes. You revamp the whole small forward position in one offseason. Now you got Wiggins and Scottie Barnes in the building? Come on, man. Come on, man. Rose got to do it right. But I really would like Andrew Wiggins on his team, man. I don't want none of them other small forwards, man. All of them is whack, man. But you're definitely right, though, boy. We definitely got to get some players. I'm going to ask you a question, matter of fact, Dowd. Mm-hmm. Is rebuild over? And what I mean by that is, just like what Ball just said, no more young players. It's time to get the show on the road. So, meaning you got Mitch, RJ, Quickly, Obi, Knox. You know, if Knox is still here, we good to go? That's what. You agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I don't give a damn about none of these picks. You know what I'm saying? Like getting the extra pick will be dope, but I'm if we get the extra pick now, I'm thinking about we definitely gotta package these two to get somebody else now. You know what I'm saying? Because right now I'm 100% on board to get Wiggins for the way that you explained it. It all makes sense. You know, they got certain players coming back, so they they can get rid of Wiggins now to save that bread that you was talking about. So I'm 100% down to get Wiggins. You know what I'm saying? We already talked about Sexton, and we talked about Ball, different scenarios for that. So I'm totally down for all of that too. But if we get that extra pick, now you're talking about taking those two picks, maybe adding salary or somebody else to get possibly another player. You know that we haven't even talked about. It could be somebody else dangling out there. You know that we can give two picks, and possibly a player. You know maybe whatever little cap space we have left over. I'm just throwing out there. You know whatever. We could possibly get another player, not necessarily to be like a star, but just somebody to get into that rotation. Somebody better than a Burke or something like that we've been getting the last few years. This is what I'm talking about. Like now we can start digging into that upper echelon of role players. You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, getting Wiggins, getting a Sexton, and then getting that third player, you know, and then like say if we get Sexton, we might potentially be able to get another player tacked in there if we're able to help them flip. Love, you know what I'm saying? So all this stuff is magically delicious, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we're already talking about getting 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, possibly 4, major role players added to a team that already went 41 and 31, man. So, you know, the sky's the limit for us, man. I feel like this is the way, you know, for everything that we talked about in this early off season right now. This is the way that we should go about this off season.
Yep, and the main point is every player that I'm trying to get for the Knicks, none of them has reached their ceiling yet. So we don't know how good none of these players could be. So get them in the system with Thibodeau. This is why I love a guy like RJ Barrett. RJ Barrett makes it so much easier for you to just plug and play about anybody because he can shoot the ball now, so we ain't got to worry about his jump shooting anymore. And we don't got to worry about RJ being a dog. So, hey, get my guy some goddamn help. Go get another guy we probably ain't talk enough about. But I know we're going to talk about more in the next time. A guy like Malik Monk. Another guy who could get his own shot. Those type of guys. Like, we got to just get those type of guys in the building. And, you know, our team is going to be good. We're going to be straight. I ain't too worried about the future. I'm just hoping that we don't make no crazy win now trades and we just destroy our future and now we just sitting here like 2015 again. Andreas Bargnani trade.
Yeah, don't bring up the past, man. We definitely gotta move on from that stuff, man. You know, just thinking about all the dumb shit that we did in the past, man, that this shit. It's like a downer, you know what I'm saying? So right now we in a spot that we've never been in, man. Because I mean, you know, like you're talking about age and stuff. I go back to you know Bernard King and all that stuff. I kind of remember all that stuff that was happening, man. So there was so many stupid moves that we've done throughout the years, and right now we in a spot. We're in a place that we've never been. You know, the closest thing that I can remember us being in this spot was when we signed Allen Houston and Chris Childs. You know what I'm saying? That you know at that point, you know, we was already good. So we had the opportunity to add, you know, fresh young talent to the roster. So that's probably like the only other time that I can remember that the offseason was like so important like that. You know, saying so where we had our future in our own hands. Right now we got our future on our own hands, man. So, you know, it could definitely go left, you know. But for everything that we said tonight, you know, the future is bright, man. And if the moves are out there to be made, and then we just got to go out there and find the right one.
Yes, sir. I think we gotten everything.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good show.
Definitely, nah, man. Good show, man. Man, I appreciate you, dog. Because it's funny talking about the Knicks. My stomach don't hurt. I'm feeling good right now.
I see you walking around, man. You're contaminating the whole apartment, man. So to get that on hands. Sanitizer, or you at home, man, so you can get some soap and water on them things. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, most definitely. I'm about to Lysol the whole crib.
Man. You heard that? You don't want to be spreading. Yeah, man. Nah, you gotta keep that poopy stuff to yourself, man.
Nah, you got it, man. You got it, man. But
I'm telling all your business, bro.
Nah, you good, bro. Everybody, I was sick as hell, bro. I'm good. I'm good now. Boom. Yo, shout out to Nick Nation, man. I appreciate y'all tuning in. What is this? Episode 5? Die Hard State of Mind.
Yeah, something like that. I should probably start making a note of that.
Yeah, probably episode 5. I appreciate y'all for tuning in, though, giving us this good commentary in the chat, man. Definitely appreciate that, though. And yeah, y'all MVPs. Know where y'all can find it, of course. Y'all know where y'all can find the pod. Die Hard, put up on the screen, Spotify, Player FM, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, all the good stuff, man. Y'all know where to find us. Yeah, I'm out of here, man. Die Hard, salute to you, man. Best of wishes. Nick fans, salute to y'all, man. I'm out of here. It's your boy, State. Peace.
Peace, State.
Peace out, man.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is State of the Die Hard. This is Die Hard State of Mind podcast, I should say. So, like me and State, he said it's the 5th official episode on YouTube. But if you count the audio podcast, me and him probably had done maybe like close to like 20 podcasts, man. So that's why we're here together, man. So I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Let me just make sure I shout you guys out. We got Ball here, Boost Mobile, May the 4th. A couple other guys earlier in the podcast was helping out a lot. But I appreciate you guys definitely. Before we go, man, let me shout out the various different things that I have here. We got nativehempcompany.com. If you're into to CBD, man, go to nativehemp.com. They got real flower and stuff like that. If you're into CBD and not trying to get high off the real stuff and just really want the medicinal purposes of it, you could try that. And you don't have to be high in front of your kids, man. Also, Manscaped. I got the manscaped.com. Use promo code DieHard20 for Manscaped, and you can get anything on that website for 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com and using DieHard20. So anyway, we out of here, guys. Thank you for tuning in, and see you guys in the next one. Peace.